Stephen Lumen is a financial advisor in Morgan Stanley's Bethesda office. Stephen is compensated. The Eric Stewart Show and WMAL be featured on the show. This is not a solicitation nor intended to provide individually tailored investment advice. The strategies and or investments referenced may not be suitable for all investors. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, Morgan Stanley, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. The views expressed herein are those of the presenter and may not necessarily reflect the views of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Hey, today I've got John Yetman from the Capital Bay Group at Morgan Stanley. He's a financial advisor and senior portfolio manager from Morgan Stanley in Bethesda, Maryland. Today we're going to discuss obtaining your goals and how to reach those goals with a financial plan. What does the output of a financial plan really do, John? I want to know, how do you figure out what to put as a rate of return for somebody based on their age? How do you figure that out? And what if your client is a business owner?
Eric, we recommend our clients take the range of values from their business. So you can have low, medium, and high values, and you put these values as inputs into the financial plan. So typically we'll run multiple scenarios that take into account different variables such as the timing of your exit from your business, the amount of money you receive upon that exit or transaction, your lifestyle, how much you're going to live on in retirement, the rate of return on investments, taxation, and other factors. So we'll run each of these scenarios under three different sequences for the same return. So the first is what most people see in a financial plan, which is using the exact same return every year. So it might be 6%, use that every year. Mm-hmm. The second is we stress test it. So people figure Murphy's Law, that they retire, they get their lump sum, the market goes down. So we're going to stress test it and assume that when you leave the business or you retire, you immediately experience a bad market environment for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then the third is what we call Monte Carlo. That's where we'll run thousands of different scenarios having different returns in all of those years and see what is the probability that the financial plan will work. So in addition, for the business owner, I would say make another comment that nobody can accurately predict the future, but a case can be made that a window of opportunity exists while interest rates, the economy, geopolitics, and demographics trends are all in their favor.
Well, who do you think should run the financial plans?
The certified financial planner, CFP, I think is the gold standard for running financial plans.
Well, what other factors would you consider?
One is how you're spending your time. I ask clients to participate in a simple exercise. It's determining how you're spending your time right now and how you'd like to spend your time in the future. And then I have them look at these areas and put a T column and say, how are you spending your time now and how would you like to spend your time? So business takes up a lot of their time, health and fitness, People give that up a lot, spiritual, family, travel, learning and reading, charity, hobbies, socializing, community. It's really difficult to balance these things, but in my experience, the happiest people are those that are balanced. And as Stephen Covey says in his famous book, if the ladder is up against the wrong wall, every step we take just gets us to the wrong place faster.
Okay, so what are the next steps?
I think, Eric, your listeners can just call the office at my office at 301-961-1808. I'll answer any questions and can get them set up for a financial planning meeting.
Thanks, John. And that number, one more time, is 301-961-1808. John would be happy to meet you personally in Virginia, D.C., Maryland, doesn't matter where you are. They operate in all 50 states.
Correct.
All right. Thanks, John. Candy Watts joins me again. Last week, Candy is a realtor in our group. She's been a licensed realtor since 2002, so she's got 13 years of experience under her belt. But she's also run her own appraisal business for 14 years, and we are so thrilled that she joins us. And she goes out and meets with sellers all the time in Northern Virginia, where she's licensed, and does so for our group. I want to encourage you, as we're listening to her, if you think what she has to say is valuable, feel free to reach out to us and we'll have her come by and see you too. So, Candy, we talked about an elevator last week, the value of an elevator, the value of a pool. We've got a house at 4201 University in Fairfax. It's right in downtown Fairfax City. What in the Old Town section? So what is the value of a pool from an appraiser's perspective?
Wow, that's a tough one. The value of a pool. A pool can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. You will have certain buyers that will love the pool, and then you'll have certain buyers with young children, typically, who will go running away from the pool screaming. The pool can add value for the right buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick is to bring in those buyers to view the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the value of a pool for the right buyer, pool costs have, you know, they can average, you know, $25,000 to $50,000 to $100,000, depending upon the quality of the pool. In our area, the real use of a pool is typically, if you're not heating it, from May until sometime in early September, right? Because the evenings get cooler, it's harder to keep it warm. It's very expensive, actually, to keep a pool heated. So that limitation, whereas maybe places out west or where it's warmer longer, you can maybe open a pool up in March and keep it open until October, it has a greater use. Now, there's the maintenance of it, clearly, and then there's the safety issue. I think a lot of buyers have come into listings that I've had that have had pools and have said, you know, I just don't want the safety concern. I don't want, you know, my kids live in here. They think more about filling a pool in than they think about keeping it. So when you look at a house like University, how do you value the pool there? And actually, let me just take a brief moment and highlight the property specifically so you all understand. You can see this home at ericstewartgroup.com. Go to the Virginia listings that we have. Listed for $575,000. The property is right in the heart of Fairfax City. And a great location, beautiful deep backyard, nice pool, very kind of like, you know, country club living at your own house kind of a setup. So go on from there.
This particular situation, I did the search of the listings. There have been no listings within all of Fairfax City that has sold in the last year with a pool. Mm-hmm. And there are currently no current listings that are active with a pool. So they pretty much can corner the market if anybody's looking for a pool.
Mm-hmm.
Value-wise, you're right, not only the pool, but it comes with the patio surrounding it and everything else. For me, in this house, to do a value of a pool would probably fall somewhere between around, probably around $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Some appraisers may think that's generous,
mm-hmm.
but I think because of the lack of competition, the lack of any other houses available but the pool,
mm-hmm.
it has it's covering that market. So I might give it a little bit more value. Another appraiser might only give it a value of $10,000.
Okay. So because there are not that many homes with pools on the market right now, you've actually given it a little bit higher value because the buyer who wants a pool has less to pick from.
Exactly. And it's mm-hmm. not only just right now. I think in all of Fairfax City, there just aren't very many houses with a pool.
Huh.
You go to some areas like, you know, out to Great Falls,
mm-hmm.
you know, having a pool in your backyard is, it's not only is it worth more money, but in some cases it's somewhat almost expected.
Now, if you wanted to fill a pool in, do you have any idea what that would cost?
I do not.
Okay. I had a home in Georgetown, actually, in the right off of Foxhall, Burleith area, that had a pool in the backyard. This is maybe 2.5 years ago. Pool in the backyard that backing up to the Field School, right, runs right off of Foxhall. The properties on W Street and the dirt from the construction actually just kind of rolled down the hill into the backyard and just sat in this pool for about 3 or 4 years, which can ruin a pool. Well, it was much easier and really cheaper and really better because of the size of the lot to just knock the sides of the walls in and then bring in a few dump trucks full of dirt, bring the level back up, throw some sod down, and bring a backyard together. We didn't have any of the arguments about safety. The pool value in that situation was actually below. It was actually going to hurt the value of the property because because of all the shading for this particular house, it did not have good sunlight because the house was tall and the backyard was not deep. So the pool was necessarily shaded from the sun almost all the time. The house faced to the south. It was on the south side. So the backyard was to the north of the house. And therefore, you know, it was the family who'd owned it had opened it up and they'd had good times, but it was fairly limited. And the real appeal and value for that pool was somewhat limited. Whereas I think University has a deeper lot, a little more room to work with, and the house faces east to west, so they can get a lot of sunlight in the backyard. And
bright, sunny yard.
Mm-hmm. Makes it more desirable. Again, if you go to ericstewartgroup.com, you can take a look right there at the virtual tour. We've taken pictures of the backyard, the inside as well, and for $575, cheaper than a really nice townhouse, but you get single-family living, and you get a nice pool to boot. All right, we got about a minute left before we go into our break. So, Candy, just give me your final thought on You mentioned the marketability of a house. As an appraiser, you have to consider the marketability as well as just the intrinsic value. What does that mean?
We have to support to the lender that the house, of course, this is the fear from the crash of the market. If they had to foreclose on a house, could they sell it in the condition that it's currently in?
Mm-hmm.
So as an appraiser, that's what we have to support. This is why we try to bracket the size, bracket the age. We want to support that it's not too old, too young for that community,
right,
too large or too small. We want to support that it is sellable in the condition that it's in. And that's what we do by bracketing everything.
Okay. If you want to reach Candy, have a question about your property, appraisal of your property specifically, or you'd like to get a free market evaluation, have Candy come out and visit you, she would be happy to do that. As a member of our group in the Eric Stewart Group, we sell in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, and we have a dynamic system to sell your home for top dollar. Call us today at 1-800-900-9104. Again, that's 1-800-900-9104, or go to ericstewartgroup.com. I'll be right back.